Must hurry. You switching? Is this one dead?
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, it works. It just doesn't work
very
like. Try it.
Oh, okay.
Try it and just see how it is.
Yeah, it's very late. I'll grab you one. Good morning. Thank you all for joining us for this wonderful day of worship. It's good to be back in person as we worship again in the fellowship hall today. It's good to see so many familiar faces with us. A few announcements before we get started. Once again, the Joint Board just wants to continue to thank you for your flexibility in our worship spaces. 70 years worshiping in the same space, in 3 weeks we've done 3 different locations. So good job, everybody. Way to be flexible, way to be accommodating with everything. We also want to thank all who supported Food on the Fly this past week. We had another great week of sales. It just continues to amaze us how many people continue to support and be a part of this ministry. This crew has been together for about 18 months and continues to serve hard and dedicated and just look for opportunities to serve. Our joint board will be meeting at 6:30 next Monday, September 21st. That will be our next joint board meeting. That will be at 6:30. Others will follow. And then our fall festival will be Saturday, October 3rd. Get a great meal for $5 and support a church cause. Joyce has a sign-up sheet for anybody who'd like to sign up for things to bring to the fall festival. We've always had a great presence of volunteers, so I'm sure we'll have many people sign up on that list. That's all the announcements I have for right now. Let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for the week this week comes from the 103rd Psalm, the 2nd verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Amen. we turn to our liturgy today, as we write our liturgy of prayer together, our focus is going to be on forgiveness. Our scriptures text, it's been a very prominent topic throughout our scriptures in the lectionary the past month. But this week really drives home the importance of how the lengths our forgiveness should go to, the reason why our forgiveness should be so profound. So the questions I'm going to ask you today are centered around that, forgiveness. How can we be more forgiving and better forgiving people? So the first question I want you to think of is, this one should be easy because there are quite a few biblical examples of people screwing up and needing to ask God for forgiveness. So I want you to give me the best biblical example you can think of forgiveness, of somebody being forgiven by God, somebody being forgiven by somebody else, but somebody in the Bible. I'll grab you another marker. Actually, use this one, and I'll grab that one. Best biblical example of forgiveness. Take another 30 seconds. All right, let's see what you got. What are some of the best biblical examples? Joseph forgives his brothers. I got that. Old Testament. The prodigal son. Absolutely. Prodigal. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. That's interesting. We don't think about that. But Jesus on the cross. Yeah, actually, Becky's got that one too. On the cross, Jesus is offering forgiveness to people. Talk about the ability to let something go in the moment. Saul, who becomes Paul. Peter, his denial. Peter, that's the one I have. What are some of the other ones? Prodigal son, prodigal, Judas, absolutely, Last Supper, that's a big one. And the one that a lot of us have is that Jesus forgiving Peter three times, and I want to mention that one specifically because I think it's important that you look at the scripture text at that one, and I even encourage you after worship to do that because when Jesus forgives Peter, when they finally have that conversation after he's resurrected, he asks Peter the question, "Do you love me?" And he asked him that question three times. And a lot of us interpret him asking Peter that question three times as a little bit of a taunt at Peter. Like he's jabbing him a little bit to make fun of how badly he let him down. But if you think about it, each one of those questions, Jesus is blotting out a mistake that Peter had made. For each time Peter let Jesus down, Jesus says, "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you." And that truly is more profound than him making fun or poking Peter. So our next question is, this is what I want you to really think about. If a non-Christian came up to you, and let's just say you were having a conversation at the Daily Grind, or maybe at your home, maybe it's a family friend who's not a Christian, and they asked you, why does the forgiveness of sins matter to you? Why does having your sins forgiven matter to you? What would you say to them? What would your response be? Why does having your sins forgiven matter? take another 30 seconds. All right, let's see what you got. Why does the forgiveness of sin matter? Let's see what Missy has. It lets me know it's okay to make mistakes and to learn from those mistakes. I like that. Millie has, I want to spend eternity with Jesus and God. Yeah, we got to be willing to ask for the forgiveness of sins. We are still loved even though we sin. It puts our souls at peace. Basic Christian tenet, absolutely. It starts with the foundation, to enter into the Holy Land. We see a lot of other ones. Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Just getting back to that simple, basic truth, I think, is important. Comfort in knowing Jesus does not want me to be perfect. I think we need that reminder every single day, especially in our social media world. Peace and freedom to move on to other things. I put God unburdens heavy sinful weight from our life. And I want you to think about the times where you've offered the forgiveness of sins to others. You can feel the physical, or I'm sorry, God forgives sins for others. But when you've forgiven somebody personally, you can physically feel weight come off your shoulder. Your body relaxes. There's actually a lot of scientific evidence that goes into the health practices from really be willing to give somebody forgiveness. So your last question is one I want you to think about, how you can carry this on into your world. How can you become better at becoming a more forgiving person? What are some practices you could work on? It could be something personal. It could be something attitude-wise. It could be something personality-wise you're trying to work on. But what's something you can do to try to become a more forgiving person? Take just a little bit more. All right, let's see what you got. How can you become a more forgiving person? Remember all the times people have forgiven me. Absolutely. Start that conversation with God. We'll start that today. Like Elsa says, let it go. I love it. Work in our Disney theology. Forget about it. Patience and anguish. We need to move on sometimes for ourselves. We do not know what others are struggling with. Absolutely. Somebody could be having a much worse day than we realize, and we couldn't even be aware of it. Prayer, and then the Moravian essentials, faith, love, and hope, absolutely. Accept people for what they are and share with them the love of Jesus. We don't try to change them. We love them as God created them to be. Be less critical of others. Be more patient. Be more understanding. Listen. Be understanding. And what is Ross having? Less judgment. Listen more. Talk less. How much would our society benefit from that mentality 2 months away from an election? Mine says, listen, or Angie has, listen, be positive, encourage. I have, stop keeping score. That comes natural to me. I was paying attention to this when we were on vacation. Didn't matter if I was playing badminton with my nieces or Monopoly or something random. I'm a person that always keeps score. And that can come that way with sin. And Peter's one who's going to get scolded in our gospel lesson today because he's the one that asked Jesus for that number. How many times do I really have to forgive somebody? And you know something? If we're keeping track of that, we're not opening ourselves to forgiveness. We're just opening ourselves to keep the tally and hope we've done enough so we can give God the results that we hope for. But God wants us to be far more open to forgiveness than that. Thank you all for your willingness to be part of this liturgy and share how forgiveness has impacted your life. We're going to transition on into a time of prayer and a time of reflection as we remember first and foremost that God is the one who forgives all sins. And remember, once again, in our prayer concerns, I'll take us through the list of prayer concerns that I can publicly share with you today, and then we'll have some slides while Angie plays some background music and share some of the more personal prayers that we will not be sharing with those on Facebook. But those who are online, you can connect by going to our prayer chain. We always have that updated throughout the week. The best we can. So in our prayer concerns this week, our family wants to give a lot of thanks. Emily's brother, Evan Toyberg, his fiance, Shandy, was able to emigrate to the United States on Thursday. So she's here with family in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, Palmer Township, actually. And they're together. We're celebrating, and they're going through a little stress because once somebody emigrates with a visa marriage, they have 90 days to get married. So with everything going on, we continue to pray for nothing but blessings for the two of them. For the hurricanes and wildfires that continue to plague our country, I saw people in 8 different states out west have been evacuated as they deal with this such a horrendous and big fire. We continue to pray for our first responders, the firefighters out there who have got to be working long and difficult days. We pray also as hurricane season is upon us, and I heard this morning on my phone update that a tropical storm is upgrading to a hurricane, is expected to hit New Orleans by Monday or Tuesday, and we know how vulnerable that area can be, so we definitely want to keep them in prayer. And then I want to share with you, I shared with it on the prayer chain, but I want to make sure all of you have heard some of the great COVID stories of people who have beaten this challenging disease. The Riedenbach family is doing very well. They're home from the hospital. Everyone in that family, they're in either rehab centers or on the way. And so we want to rejoice and celebrate with them. I know many of you know them personally. And the story that I saw, it's called The Good News Correspondent. It's this little boy who, following John Krasinski's TV show, he started leaving these positive updates, but he shared the story of Rabbi Yehuda Dukes, who was released into rehab this past week. And this man spent 4 months on a ventilator, 9 weeks on an artificial lung machine. He endured 4 collapsed lungs throughout his stay. And by the grace of God and with great strength, he was able to win this difficult battle against COVID. And I think we really need to take time, especially as this battle has lengthened for so long, to celebrate these victories and these miracles that do happen, because they are reminders that God is still working among us and doing wonderful and beautiful things despite some of the difficult challenges we are facing. So if any of you have any prayer concerns to share, you can write them on your whiteboard, and when we get done with our time of reflection with the slides, I'll give you an opportunity to share those. But let us reflect on some of the personal prayer concerns that we have to share as well. Thank you. Have any prayer concerns that they would like to share? We absolutely lift that in prayer. And any of you who share prayer concerns now, if you could do me a favor and share them with Dalene afterwards for our prayer chain, that would be greatly, absolutely, we lift John in prayer at this time. And then Amy mentions 9/11, 19 years that has happened. We remember a lot of prayers and a lot of reflection and how our country came together after a difficult day, and it was crazy to me to think about. Oh, I'm sorry, Ross has one as well. We absolutely lift that in prayer as well. And as we reflect on 9/11, as I was saying, 19 years, and what struck me most when I thought about how long it had been was thinking about, you know, I was in a sixth grade classroom when that happened. I remember watching on the TV screen in our class, not knowing what was going to happen. But now I reflect on the fact that all of our high school graduating classes will have not lived through this and how long this has happened to go, but still so fresh on our hearts and our minds as we remember that day. And I hope we always carry with us the unity of that day as it brings us closer together to God and as a people. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and I just want to say thank you for gathering these people together for worship. For this is our church family, and I am so grateful for this opportunity to be with them, to share with them, to pray with them as we uplift all our prayers together, knowing that you are uplifting and watching them. And gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. May they all be surrounded by your love and mercy, because we all need to feel it every single day of our lives. And we remember especially 9/11. And we remember what a dark and difficult day that was for our country. Gracious God, we ask you to be with the families that are still grieving those difficult circumstances, those who lost loved ones in those buildings or in Pennsylvania or in Washington. Please be with them and remind them that we're thinking of them. Be with all the first responders, those who are still fighting to get the treatment they need and the support they need. Help us to be a country and a world that takes care of one another. And as we listen to your message of forgiveness in Scripture today, help us to make that into our lives, because it's so easy to talk about forgiveness on a theological level or a biblical level, but so often it is hard to implement on a personal level. So be patient with us as we try to extend ourselves and stretch ourselves and learn to be more forgiving, because you, God, are the greatest forgiving being on the earth. You forgive all our sins the second we ask for it. So when we come before you and say, God, yes, we are sinners, we know that you blot out all our transgressions, and we are so thankful and grateful for that. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. For our offering today, once again, we are not passing across the plate, but we are taking time to reflect and pray on the wonderful gifts that God has given us. I've been touched by hearing not just our church has been doing well with offerings, but all churches. People have continued to step up and take care of these institutions that are built on compassion and care at times we most need it. And I encourage you to also think about those local organizations in our community who are built on loving their neighbors who need our help as well. So as we reflect today, we give thanks to the tithes, the offerings, and the gifts that God allows us to share with one another. Amen.
Repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient.
with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Amen. In our children's chat today, kids, we're going to talk about how the forgiveness of sin is important. And I like how he used, the last word he used was, you have to forgive your brothers and your sisters, your siblings in God, whether they are your spiritual brothers or your physical brothers and sisters. So what we're going to talk about today is how if we don't forgive other people of their sins, of their transgressions against us, it becomes a heavy, heavy burden, something that becomes too heavy for any of us to carry around, because we got to carry around this heavy, heavy burden. So what I want you to do right now is to put on your imagination cap right now, because what I'm going to talk about right now is I'm going to pretend your parents said something very, very mean to me this week, and I'm going to share with you a statement that I heard throughout gossip they might have said this past week. So I don't want you to think your parents are mean, but I want you to think about if somebody actually said this to me, how would I respond to that? So we're going to start with Ron, Missy and Ron. You're going to be our first victim. Ron's spiritually present with us today, but he's not physically present with us today. And ever since 3 years ago, Ron and Missy invited me to my first Indian Valley football game, and I got to see what a cool atmosphere it was. I fell in love with it. They had the Wisconsin fight song, so naturally I had to stick with them. And it was so cool to see Chloe marching on the field in front of thousands of people. And I had to admit, I got a little jealous. And I asked Ron and Missy, and I said, what do you think it would take for someone like me to be able to march with the Indian Valley Band, to be real cool, to have thousands of people watching me? And you know what Ron and Missy said? They said the only way that I'll ever be good enough for the Indian Valley Band, if all the kids come down with the flu on the same day and the parents buy industrial-sized earbuds, that's the only way I'll be good enough to be on the Indian Valley Band. Now, Missy, will you ask me for forgiveness for that, please? That I'll forgive you for saying that? I'm never going to forgive you for that. Give me a color, please. So, I'm carrying around this grudge, this anger that I have towards Ron and Missy for this crazy, ludicrous statement that they've made about me and my marching skills. And then I go talk to my old friends Ross and Tiff. Oh, my goodness. And they're not feeling the positivity. The negativity is spreading around here. And it just so happened that because of COVID this year, the Brewers and Indians got to play each other. Now, the Brewers won the first game pretty mightily, I would admit, but then the second two games didn't go so hot. So Ross and Tiff, you know what they had the nerve to say? They said that the Brewers blew so many games against the Indians last week that the Great Lakes Science Center in Cleveland made them an exhibit called the greatest implosion in the state of Ohio, the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, Ross and Tiff, would you please ask me to forgive your sins? No, it's the Brewers, man. Come on, I need time. So all that anger, all that distrust, all that rage that I have towards Ross and Tiff, what's happening? I'm starting to get weighed down a little bit by it. I can carry, I can function. And then I run into my good friends, Stacy and John. And it's clear that they've been influenced by their son, Tyler, because you know what they told me? I never would believe it, especially on the opening day of football season. They said no matter how hard Aaron Rodgers tries, he will never be as good as Tom Brady. How dare you? How dare you? You've been talking to Tyler too much. Stacy and John, would you please ask for forgiveness of your sins? No, it's Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP. Come on. Oh, my goodness. And what's happening to my sins? They're weighing me down even more. I'm having trouble trying to get back to my pulpit right now. And I think I got some heavy ones in there. And then the last person I talked to is my good old friend Carolyn. And Carolyn and I grew up in similar places. She grew up in Detroit, Michigan. I grew up outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And she told me this, though. She was very excited for the opening day of football season. But she's had this negative thing to say. She said, did you know the only mammal slower than the two-slowed sloth was a Green Bay Packer trying to tackle Barry Sanders? Carolyn, you're such a nice person. I wouldn't expect that from you. Would you ask me to forgive your sins? No, that was really mean. Oh, boy. And now what has happened to my sins? How long do you think I can walk around like this carrying this forgiveness? Not long, Paige, right? Not long, Rylan? Because when we become burdened by refusing to offer people forgiveness, we become the very things we hate. And pretty soon, before we know it, all that hatred that we hang on to, it makes us collapse. It becomes uncarryable. So what I want you to remember, kids, the reason why we forgive sins, why we forgive the mistakes of others, is so we don't become the things we hate. We don't become those burdens. And it becomes a lot easier to walk around and to do things. And look, I can play football again. I can actually catch, I'm never going to catch Barry Sanders even at 60, but I can at least try to run with him. And I think it's important that we remember that. Because that's a real illustration. If we don't forgive sins, they just become heavier and heavier. And we have to take care of that. Let us pray. Great. Gracious God, we ask that you bless our kids and just remind them that they are loved in the image of God. They are cared for. And please, just remind them that a sign of strength is to have the willingness to ask others for forgiveness of sins. And that starts with our God, our Creator, to be willing to ask Him to forgive us for the mistakes and the sins that we make against Him and others. And as long as we are willing to do that, we can feel light, and we can feel carried, and we can feel loved by a wonderful and awesome God. In your name we pray. Amen. So for our message today, as we transition from that, is we're talking about the power of forgiveness. As we can see just how heavy holding on to a grudge can be, rarely do we talk about the opposite, the power of letting it go. So your last question that I want to ask you as we start our meditation on is, I want to ask you this question. When you ask to be forgiven by somebody for something wrong that you have done, what signs from you or that person show you that person has truly forgiven you and are not just brushing you off? What signs do you see from that person? To know that that person isn't just, oh, okay, whatever, it's okay, you've walked away with that. So I want you to take out your whiteboard for a little bit and let me know, what signs do you see when someone asks you to be forgiven that you know that you are truly forgiven and that person isn't just brushing you off? And it's okay if you don't have an answer, but just try your best. All right, take another moment or two to think about that. What signs do you know that you are truly forgiven from someone? All right, let's see what some of your responses are. They didn't bring it up to me again, to me or to the other person. I think that's very important. So often I think I've forgiven somebody and it keeps reoccurring. They talk to you again. Hang out together. Hugs, smile, kind words, hugs, a smile. That's very important. How they treat you the following day, I like that. Eye-to-eye contact, absolutely. Are they looking you in the eyes? The tone of their voice, what they say when they are forgiven. A heartfelt hug, that can truly be. For me, one of my big factors is the conversation doesn't die. It continues with empathy from the other person. So let's say the example where Carolyn smashes me for how much she loves Barry Sanders as a Detroit Lion, and she asks me for forgiveness, and I don't just say, oh, yeah, whatever. I say, okay, yeah, you're forgiven. How is Charlotte's first day of high school this week? How is Nick doing with his school changes? I don't just let the conversation die and walk away. I think that's a good symbol of that. But there are a lot of different ways we think about that. And here, as we talk about this message together, I want you to think about these four biblical signs, and I want you to pay attention to them because I think they're important for all of us as we talk about forgiveness. And number one, when we talk about if we've forgiven somebody ourselves, if we ourselves have forgiven someone, we need to think about number one, can we speak as if the wound has scabbed and is not still bleeding? So in other words, are you able to talk about the hurt that has happened to you without you getting incredibly emotional or unable to process it, but you can tell that that person has processed it, just like Joseph in Genesis 50. He was able to see a lot of hurt that had happened to him, and he was able to see the good that came out of it. But there's something important in that, because you can never grant forgiveness if that wound is still bleeding or causing you pain. And that's why preachers who have been through vulnerable things throughout their lives, we're trained to never talk about something until it's scabbed, until we're able to be in a place where we can show that the healing has happened. And number two, when somebody has wronged you, do you have an opportunity in that person's life to seek revenge against that person who has wronged you? And you know if you've forgiven them if you don't take it, if you don't take the opportunity to seek revenge. So I want you to think about, we talk about the workplace example this week. And we talked about, what if a coworker had done you wrong? Let's say that coworker said something mean about you to another coworker in the coffee room or the break room, and they didn't realize that later you overheard what that mean thing was. And that person comes up to you the next day and they apologize. But guess what? A week later, you've got a meeting with your boss. And your boss happens to let you know that that person that has wronged you is up for a promotion. And they ask you, how do you think Susie would be in this position? If you've forgiven that person, you're not going to seek revenge in that moment. You're not going to say, oh, Susie would be a terrible choice. She's impersonable. She's awful. You're going to be willing to share what you really feel, that Susie is a good person. She makes mistakes sometimes, but she has an ability to bounce back. And that's what it says about us, that we're willing not to seek revenge. And then number three, you have honored the pain that the issue has caused you. And I think this is one of the most underrated aspects of forgiveness. You have honored the pain the issue has caused you. And I think I can be guilty of not following this one as well. Because when that person really hurt you and they ask you for forgiveness, you didn't say, oh, no worries. It's all good. It's all good. We're good. You may have backed into my car and sent me into the hospital for 2 weeks, but I'm over it. We're good. We're good. And so when you're dismissive of somebody's forgiveness and you don't honor the pain that it's caused you, it really makes you show that you haven't worked through it yet. You have to say, this has caused me hurt. This has caused me pain, and yet I still forgive you. A lot of spouses who have been through divorce really struggle with this one. You have to be willing to say that it caused you a great deal of pain before you can move on with your life, before you can forgive, before you can heal the wound. You have to honor the hurt that it's caused you. And then number four, when you realize, this is how you know that you've truly processed forgiveness. When you realize the person that hurt you is as worthy of God's forgiveness as you are. When you realize the person that hurt you is as worthy of God's forgiveness as you are. That's a big one when you've come to that truth. Because in order to truly feel whole, to feel the whole power of forgiveness, you have to stop praying for the other person to burn, the other person to struggle, the other person to hurt. And you have to get to a place where you can pray for them to heal. A place where Joseph reached, where you genuinely want that person to be a better person after the mistake they made with you. That's how you know that you have truly processed forgiveness. Very, very important. And it's so important that Jesus focused on this in his discussion with Peter today in this parable. Matthew 18:21-22 said, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times.'" 70 times seven times. With that statement, Jesus forbids his disciples from being bean counters, the people like me where I'm talking about where you're always keeping score of everything. We are called to be forgiving people, period. And that is why Jesus gives such a ridiculous number in his parable for the number of talents that this man has acquired in his debt. One talent in biblical terms equals 20 years wages. So do the math on what 20 years wages would be for you. And so 10,000 talents, the debt that this man owed, would be 200,000 years of wages. A big, enormous debt. In modern terms, we are obviously talking about millions of dollars. Debt none of us could pay off. And let's not even go into the fact that, hey, how did this guy rack up such an enormous debt with this master, and this master still let this happen? But let's stay focused on the fact that Jesus is not calling us to keep track of the amount of sins that other people are committing against us. That's what we got to stay focused on. Don't keep track of the sins that people are committing against you. Because the truth is, we're guilty of thinking, not that we don't sin, I think all of us admit that we sin, but we think that our personal sins are minuscule. That the sins that we commit against others are the ones that can fit in our pockets. They're so small. But we look at other people. We look at the sins that they commit against their neighbor, and we act like the weight of sin they carry is just like those books that I had, where it's up to the brim in them trying to carry that basically a cinder block of sin. And these cinder blocks of sin we carry, we have to remember all of us are carrying them. Our sins, if anybody who's a sinner carries the same weight, carries that same heavy burden. And these cinder blocks we carry, they cause pain to our family, our friends, and our neighbors. When that pain becomes rooted in our selfishness, our hatred, our ego, and our greed. So we have to ask ourselves that question. Why do we forgive others as Christ calls us to do? Why is that so important? And theologian Michael Harton said, "You don't get the God you believe in, you get the God you live. If you are a judgmental person, you receive a judgmental God. If you are a forgiving person, you receive a forgiving God." So what I want to talk about today is I want to use my illustrations. Apparently, I went on vacation and started thinking about all these illustrations this week, but we're going to roll with that. And we're going to take these out right here. Oh, sorry, Angie, no baptism today. What's that? Oh, well, we'll roll with it. And our thing is cracked as we are cracked just as I planned it. Okay, so we're going to roll with that. Ooh, I'll be careful. So what we have in front of us today is I want you to look at each three of these glasses that I have in front of you. Because these small and minuscule glasses, these are the sins that we commit. And in one glass, we have the sins that we commit against our friends. In one glass, we have a sin that we commit against our neighbors. In one glass, we have the sins we commit against our family. And when you look at them, they're tiny glasses to the sins that we do to each other. But guess what? Every single sin we commit in this world when we put ourselves above God is a sin against God. So the sins we commit against God, they all go in the same place. So when we sin against our friends, we hurt God. When we sin against our neighbors, we sin against God. And when we sin against our family, we sin against God. So the transgressions that we commit against our Heavenly Father, against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they add up. They start to get heavy. And so when we remember the fact that Jesus, the second we ask Him for forgiveness, He instantaneously forgives us. And we have to think about the fact that when we think about, and He forgives us of that entire body of water the second we ask for it. So when we hold on to our burdens in these tiny cups and we let them remain full, we have to remember how pathetic we are in that moment, how ungrateful we are, because God takes care of that ocean every single day for us. So the least we could do in payback for that is to forgive other people or what they have done wrong to us. Because if you want to look at it from a very economic viewpoint, you are getting one heck of a deal. Because the sins that you commit against other small groups of people towards you or for you only fit in this glass. But all those sins you commit against different groups of people, they all get poured in against the sins you commit against God. And when you add it up, you get one heck of a deal when it comes to the forgiveness of sins. Not too many car salesmen can give you that 3-for-1 discount that God has given you for the sins you commit against your friends, your neighbors, and your family. And also you can add God into an individual category for that as well. But I want you to remember that. When it feels like you can't forgive somebody, when it feels like this tiny glass is too full, remember that God looks at everything you've done in this full, full cup. And this would be even fuller if we were looking at it. It would be much dirtier. But remember that God soaks that up every single day the second you ask it. So when you're asked why you should forgive somebody for your sins, it's because God forgives far more sins from each and every one of us every day. So when that non-Christian comes to you and asks, why are you a forgiving person? Because you are loved by a forgiving God who washes away your sins. And naturally, if we weren't in a building, I would dump this somewhere. But we're going to leave this right here. Ooh, and I didn't spill it, so that's good. But let's take a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before You, and I just want to say thank You for the forgiveness of sins. And we come before You remembering that we have done so many wrongs in our lives, and we forgive You what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved You with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, but still, You blot out all of our transgressions and remind us that we are loved, that we are cared for, and that ultimately we are forgiven. So when the opportunity comes in our lives, when someone has done us wrong, even 7 times 70 times, give us the strength and the power to forgive. To give people that small reminder of the grace and the mercy and the love that is bestowed upon each of us. In your precious and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let us now reflect on the hymn, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive, as we carry this message into our world. I encourage you to look at hymn 777 tonight and really look at the prayer that is written there and how the willingness of God to forgive our sins truly sustains us. Let us listen now to the words of benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his forgiveness upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you all for joining us for this wonderful worship service. We hope you have a wonderful week and are able to carry God's love and forgiveness with you. It is now time we'll move on to dismissal. Jean Ann, go ahead. Take care. Swallow family, go ahead. Northrop's, go ahead. Go ahead. McKenna and Becky, go ahead. Linda, go ahead. Millie and Randy, go ahead. And Delane, go ahead. go ahead. Martha, go ahead.